Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida. I'm joined in the studio with guest co-host today, Nadeem Awad.
What's up, guys?
And this is going to be interesting because, you know, your first, I don't know if I'm putting you to the test, but like as a guest co-host, because Ciro's out. He couldn't get it. His car's fucked up.
Oh, no,
I guess
good.
It's something when somebody says they have travel issues or transportation issues, you know. And Jen's doing the show at Scores, so that was a crazy day. So, you know, bringing you in.
Glad to have you.
Your second time here.
Thank you.
And those of you who don't know, he's a very funny, up-and-coming comic. I think he's naturally funny. You know, I already put you on a show or two. I'm sure a lot of local comics are pissed because you know, we're like, we're friends so fast.
They don't tell me. They just give me the looks, man.
You know, somebody did that to John Levine one time. John, I won't tell you who the comic was, but they were like, oh, you're all tight with Dougie, because I'm a dickhead in the local scene, I guess. But speaking from a local scene, comedian Noam Manor. Straight from Israel. Well, I would say you're born in Israel.
Yeah, I've been here a while.
Yeah, okay. Still got a good accent.
I think so.
Yeah.
Trying to hold on to it.
Yeah. So it's going to be great. We're going to do comedy amongst a Jew and an Arab, or
That's a Palestinian,
which is even more hate, you know.
Palestinian and Israeli.
That's right. Palestinian, yeah. Israeli. You can't say Jew and Arab, because that's like saying...
That's too vague.
Yeah.
Like, we need you guys to know that we are, like, we were born 10 miles away from each other, but we're not from the same place.
Right. I mean, isn't that weird? Like, here's the thing. Many people, like... I'm the person that when people say, why can't the Jews and the Palestinians get along? I'm like, you can't even get along with people in Walmart.
Yeah.
In line. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very hypocritical that people, you know, that you have a hard time get along at the four-way stop.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just think about it. Where you guys have been neighbors for thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, would you guys rock the Casbah? Did you guys like play the fucking the loud music? And the Jews like, hey, turn it down over there. And then you said, fuck it, let's, you know.
It was actually pretty funny because the first time I met Nadeem, it was, I think, in 10th Level Tavern. He came to my open mic.
Yep.
And I introduced him. I was like, Nadeem. I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Well, what do you mean? Were you ready?
Well, I was just like, he's just naturally going to hate me. Obviously.
Yeah, so you think that's a natural born thing.
Well, and then he introduced himself, and we had that moment of like, where are you from? Palestine. Where are you from? Israel. And we just looked at each other, and we were like, hey, my cousin.
Yeah. I didn't think that at all. When I first saw you, I was like, wow, this girl's a real bitch.
Well, you know. Well, let me say this in all defense of.
I'm gonna beat his ass. Hold on.
No, we don't. We're gonna be an example for the rest of the world to follow here today on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. But you know, all right. Now you have a. Now I will say this, in all due fairness to Nadeem's opinion. I mean, you don't have like a typical, like you have an Israeli woman's persona, like strong. You know what I mean? I'm not talking. You're not like a blonde, like you know what I mean. One of these broads.
I'm a boss bitch.
Yeah, you could tell.
Sure,
you got a little bit of an attitude. You know, he's Palestinian, so he's a fucking ruffian. He's gonna say you a bitch. You know, I'm just gonna say yeah. You know, she looks like the kind of person you don't want to get in an argument with.
No.
You know, or marry. Now I'm just I don't want to say our good friend Joe DeWayne. As your fiance,
yes.
You know, Joe. I always loved Joe. As a comic, I've been around. I took Joe on the road with me one time.
Okay.
As a comic, I always thought was funny. Again, recognizing talent, and actually, Dan, long-haired Dan. Now I'm blanking on his name. Dan Dakotas.
Dakotas, yeah.
A very funny comic who just walked out of comedy now writing and stuff and doing stuff more important, probably making money. those two guys I took on a gig with me to Lakeland, right?
Wow.
You know, this kind of thing. And, you know, and now,
and
so I like Joe.
And I snatched him up.
So what happened with Joe? He's not really, you know, like, I feel like when Richie Lala left, now Richie Leese, there's a lot of comics that didn't have, like, you know, because it was Richie Leese, Jeff, what's his name?
I'm pretty new. I don't know these guys.
Yeah, another guy. He's a political guy. No, see, okay. That's the thing. He's not doing, I don't see these people.
Yeah.
And they don't do it, you know.
Well, Joe is only on hiatus. We're both working on a documentary together right now. So nice. He's really focused on that. And also, you know, I can't let him get out of the house too many times a week. So he only has a limit of how many times he's allowed to leave.
See, that's a Jewish one. See,
too many checkpoints.
See, you know what?
I'm only kidding. He's just really focused on the documentary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're cracking the whip. Now, I said there was two women I would never marry. One would be a Jewish woman because I'm Catholic. You know what I mean? Not just because of that.
Because we don't want you.
Right. Exactly. So okay. It's not like I'm hurting anybody. You know. And Italian women. You know what I mean?
Those are two very similar women, like Israeli and Italian women.
Yeah, they could be bossy.
Bossiest bitches.
Now that doesn't say about my wife's bossy. My wife's been doing that a lot lately. Like when we're driving, she's like, "Oh, turn it!" I fucking lost it because we were on the road in Chattanooga together. I took her with me, and I would reach that boiling point where she's around too much, and I'm like, "Okay, enough of that. If I fucking want advice, I'll ask." You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, that doesn't fly in your house.
Hell no.
you would beat the shit out of Joe, wouldn't you?
We don't raise our voice at me. No.
Oh, see the way that she's got.
Oh yeah,
she's got the Matumbo.
Yeah.
Not here.
The line has been divided. Right?
Yeah, you guys don't start drawing lines here. These two. You know, by the way, don't move over into his area. Okay, don't keep moving your shirt.
My feet are going closer and closer. They're gonna land on his lap.
She keeps occupying more room between the mics.
She threw a knife in front of me.
Yeah,
not mine. That is not mine.
What's that little fucking Jeep doing in there? Is there a tunnel? What are you doing digging a tunnel now? Now you guys obviously you have different ideologies. I'm going to guess from what I know, you're a lot stronger in your ideology. He's like more of a born here, right?
The family. I'm chill, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But she grew up there.
You grew up there.
Well, I think in our ideologies, we're fairly similar. I mean, I don't think he wants all Israelis dead, and I don't want all Palestinians dead. We're in kind of like middle of the road type of deal.
Yeah.
The cultures are very, very similar.
Super similar.
Now, do you think there's people that want, there's the people that the leaders maybe of these groups want them dead? Like, you know, I mean.
I think the leaders, the governments are the ones causing, you know, 90% of the problems. The people could get along. They want to get along. That's the thing.
They've gotten along to an extent for a very long time. You know,
yeah.
Was it like
there,
a bad kickball match? Like you guys were playing a game and then somebody cheated?
It was a rock throwing contest. Skipping.
Babe Ruth.
Yeah, fucking.
Babe Ruth left the Palestinians for the Israelis. Yeah.
Well, that's it. You know, to me, it's always interesting when people say you can't go. I'm like, who knows? Like, do you guys think there'll ever be?
You're depressing me on Monday.
No, I'm just saying. Like to me,
this shit, man. You know, take the week off, right?
Listen, I don't really talk to my brothers, my older brothers. You know, there's a lot of water under the bridge. I don't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and I don't want to deal with it anymore. So if anybody said, I wouldn't bet on it. So I'm just saying.
I think it's too far gone, man. If you look at, like, I go to Arab weddings, and I don't know if it's like this at your guys' weddings, but there'll be people from different villages, and they'll all be separated at the weddings.
Right.
Like, that guy's from fucking over here, and I didn't talk to his uncle. We got an argument 30 years ago. We don't talk. So
they hold grudges.
It's divided at the, yeah.
Yeah. Us, I mean, in our culture, too, we hold grudges like
forever.
It's our job.
Yeah, you can't, I personally, there's a few individuals I really can't stand. And would laugh if I saw them walk like lit on fire. But you know, at this point, you know, I'm true. But I'm at that point where I'm like, now, like just a month ago, like you know, I've just completely eliminated that from my thinking. Like in other words, like I can, you know, I can care. Done. I'm not even going to think about it. Like
yeah.
I won't even take the energy anymore. But you're saying that the Israelis and the Palestinians, no, they're still thinking about
stubborn people.
They're two very stubborn people, and again, like the culture is so similar.
Yeah,
they're two extremely similar type of
That's the odd thing. That's the odd thing yeah. about that. You know what I mean? Hey, because here's the thing. I told him a little story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk, because getting along in the world versus getting along in the comedy world. Like, I've noticed, I won't mention names, but I've noticed some people. You're on an open mic at the 10th Level Tavern, which is over by the Funky Buddha Brewery in Fort Lauderdale off Andrews.
Yeah, and every Sunday.
I've been there. I went there with Ty Rivera was in town. We stopped in.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, as a comic, when anybody says you're going to an open mic, I expect anything and everything.
Sure.
And I go to an open mic not because I'm expecting to be on a great show. My goal as a comic as I go to an open mic is to work on something,
right.
you know, to try to put something out there that I wouldn't do at a paid show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Every once in a while, you end up at an open mic and you're like, holy shit, it's a show. Like the night, the last time I was at the tavern. You know, I was like
Grand Tavern.
The Grand Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get it. It's the fucking
the two grand, taverns.
It's the Grand Tavern.
You follow me around and you just steal my shit.
Yeah. Oh, you have a gig called the Tavern?
No, 10th Level Tavern and Grand Tavern.
See, there he goes.
She heard he started.
Kaya, calm down. We're going to make this work. We got two more segments to get there. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like in that night, I said, okay, I threw in some newer jokes, but I basically said, I got to make.
Yeah,
I got to turn this into
a room up. Yeah, yeah, try let's some get of it going. Stuff. Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean. But for the most part, when I go to an open mic, so it, like I've seen some comics make comments
about my open mic.
About your open. Now it's not they,
people love to hate it.
Now they haven't said anything like they named it, but they've named the video game thing and the.
No, today a comic definitely named it, and I went back and I was like, but the thing is that they named it, and then later on they said, oh, I don't want to bash it. And I went back and I said, if you didn't want to bash it, then don't bash it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's just weird how, you know, it's, I mean, if something bad happens or something happens, to be expressive, sometimes it's just what it is.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? If there's something happened in my thing that something really bad happened and somebody says, look, something fucked up happened at Tavolino's, it happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's, you know, but to me, I saw comments like that. And I'm like, I kind of like, you know, why jump? And, I like again to me it's not the greatest open mic setting for me to work on stuff, but it is challenging in that you got people standing at the bar and at tables playing fucking get video games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I'm not gonna sit there and get pissed. I'm gonna say I gotta get these people to turn their head from this. That's all when I was in that room, that's sure. all I tried to do.
Yeah,
that's a great point that Don Giovanni made, that he says he likes the challenge of trying to get people to pay attention and step away from, put the controller down and
yeah
watch the mic
because they're free. The games are free. It's not like you put a quarter in there.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the entire concept of the bar is that it's a video game bar,
right?
So they don't want to turn the video games off for comedy.
Now I have to ask you a question. You walked this is a place that you frequented it, and then you said, you know what, you should do comedy here?
No, actually the owner of the bar is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he was putting together a comedy open mic when I was just maybe 6 months into comedy,
right?
And his host backed out last minute. And he reached out to me and he said, I need you to host this. Like, maybe a week before the show. And I was like, you know, my thing in business like that is if you want to further yourself, just always say yes and figure it out then.
Really?
So.
Nice. And then, yeah, deal with the consequences after.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like me, like it was funny. Like when I eat at Tavolino's, I would go there and I,
mm-hmm.
it's a great venue. I said, this is a great place for comedy. There's a stage, there's a separate room in a sense, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's set up for it. They have live entertainment. I said, hey, well, I'm gonna do comedy. And then the other parameter is, look, I'm not going to be responsible for getting people there.
Right.
You know, sure. My job is putting a show together. I'm not going to sit there. I'm going to stand on a sign with signs and, you know, it's not what I do. You know, so that's a challenge of it. You know, the Village, the Grand Tavern.
Yep.
Is a nice little stage there. So it's got some view, you know. Things like that. So if anybody says to me, hey, you want to open a room, you know, there's certain things I got to have for me to want to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but again, as a comic, it's there. It's a night. It's a Sunday.
Right. There's. You know, I don't believe there's any other mic on Sunday in Broward.
No, I think that's the only one that I know about. Yeah.
And I tell people, I warn them. I'm like, listen, this is a rough room.
Right.
This is a room where you bomb. Like, go in there thinking, you know, this might not be my best set. But when you do manage to get their attention, which does happen, it's very rewarding.
No, it is. And I would say that would be something I would do.
I had to stand up on a chair.
He stood up on a chair and he got their attention and they loved him. And, I mean, that's a thing. To say I killed it, I had a killer set at 10th Level Tavern is not something that goes without saying. You know, it's not something that's easily accomplished.
Well, I opened up with a "Who wants a mic stand up their ass?" and then everyone.
Yeah, that's a good opener.
Which usually will get people's attention.
That would be a bunch of gaming geeks. Like,
he also took his hair down.
Yes,
and they were like, "Who is this? Who is this hot chick?"
Yeah, he's a hot. He was at. I don't want to get him in trouble, but he was at my 50th birthday party, and one of my wife's sister's friends was real hot for him. You know, she wanted him right away. You know, and kudos to you, kudos to him, your girlfriend. You know, you turned on some hot ass.
Yeah, she's a good woman. You know, so.
You know, so
and she'll kill me.
Speaking of hot ass, when I was at the 10th level tavern, you said I made a comment about your vagina.
Yes, you did.
I don't see. That's the thing.
At Inkwell.
Oh, is that Inkwell pub?
Well, yes. So I don't even. I think it was the first time we ever met.
Right.
I was sitting at the bar at Inkwell. And you were on stage, and I don't know how you set up my skirt, up my dress.
Really? Well, I'm
pretty and you good. Just went on about it, and I don't think you knew I was a comic because I went up there and I was mean to you.
You were.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which you probably liked even more.
Oh yeah, I love being. You know, I do remember that now. I think that was, you know, but I'm good at that. I can really tell a lot, you know, about a woman's. You know, but I'm so Donald Trump of me.
By a woman's vagina?
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a lovely thing.
Joe's going to be here later. Set your house on fire.
Oh, will he? No, Joe won't be able to do it.
Do it tomorrow because I'm going to get blamed.
Yeah,
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But I thought that was interesting about that because, you know, in this scene, you know, comedy here, you know, people... You got enough challenges, you know what I mean? Let me ask you a question. I'm not going to mention these, but if let's say you send somebody a text and email or something, and you don't hear back in about 7 days, 8 days, mm-hmm. You find that disrespectful?
To like book them for a show and
whatnot? No, like somebody you know or another friend, a comic, a booker,
yeah,
or something like that.
I don't like that.
Like it's they don't respond
pet peeve for me,
right?
Yeah,
like how many days does it take you to get a little mad that somebody at least doesn't respond or say something?
I think same day. We're all on our phones all day anyway. Like let's not pretend.
Like exactly. Like there's no way. Like.
At least I'm so sorry I'm busy. I'll get back to you later. It's that simple.
You could reply.
Yeah.
Ricky Cole says on Facebook Live, my name is Ricky Cole, and I'm a comedian and would love to be on your show. Well, I don't know if he's talking about our show here or the 10th Level Tavern or the Grand Tavern.
All right.
But that's tomorrow night, by the way, right?
And tomorrow night's the open mic. List drops at 8. Mic starts at 8:30. Nicholas Goulart's hosting.
Now, okay, so I didn't tell the story yet about what happened to me outside the Marina 84.
Okay,
it's interesting because when you know a lot of veteran comics, I talk to them and like they don't go to open mics anymore. Like a lot of times, I work. I'm excited. I'm going to be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock this Wednesday through Saturday, and then Wichita Looney Bin Wednesday or Thursday through Saturday next week.
Nice.
So I'm going to have like 7 or 12 shows. What am I talking about? About 10 shows or whatever it is. 12 shows. To work on new shit in between, right? Because I'm doing 30. But, you know, I forgot what the fuck I was saying.
About Marina not 84. Going to
oh, open yeah. Mics. So I want to go to an open mic and things like that. But it's a lot of guys don't want to go to open mic because they deal with stupid shit and whatever. So I went to the Marina 84. Kel runs it out there every Tuesday. And it was great. I got a chance to do the same thing. Write some new jokes, throw it in there, some old ones. And a comic who we still know who he is. Young comic, I've only seen him at this one location, runs up to me after the show and says, hey, man, I have to ask you a question. He goes, you know, I saw you at Spill the Beans comedy show, which is Fozz and Malik's show, and I was there a few weeks back. And he says, you did great and everything, and you told this one joke, and you pointed at me, and it's part of my bit, mm-hmm. something I do. It's about a masturbation joke, you masturbate kind of thing, and I pointed at him. He's like, you know, and you know, the joke wasn't that great. And I felt like Fozzle and Khalil put you up to fucking with me or something like that. I'm like, dude, and the guy was definitely high on coke. Yeah. To me, he just looked really wired out and messed up, not mm-hmm. not really.
And this is a comic,
yeah.
You said,
well, I don't think he's like a well, you know, he's just like an open mic comic,
right? Right.
Sure.
I never seen him in any place but that area.
Okay.
Before a lot of, and he says to me, he says, you know. I just felt like you were fucking with me. I go, dude, what the fuck? What are you coming up to? What are you bugging me for? And then he goes, well, you know, you told you were great. The set was funny. Then you told that joke and that joke sucked. So I thought it was like, and I go, hold on a second. And I said, dude, you got 10 seconds to get the fuck away from me before I plant you into the ground. And you know, he got all pissed and walked away. Why are people
getting
you know,
upset? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like once you're on stage and you have a mic in your hand, everything you say should be taken with a grain of salt. You're performing. You're not you. You're not. You're not a representation of your own values and morals. It's a joke. You're a comedian,
right.
Literally. So yeah. Everything, I mean, I think any beef that's created while you're on stage is so fucking stupid and pointless and not real.
I just couldn't get what somebody would think. I would waste my time.
Yeah.
Because as a comic, stage time is priceless.
Sure.
If you're a comic and you don't take it, like, I will say some of the little pet peeves I get mad at. I really get mad when I go to an open mic and I see people doing crowd work. If you're a newer comic, unless yeah. unless you're specifically going there to work on your crowd work, but for the most part, you know. So what do you guys want to talk about? I was at an open mic. Somebody said that. So what do you guys want? Are you fucking kidding me? You've been waiting here for an hour and a half, and you're going to come out and say, "What do you guys want to talk about?"
But why does that bother you? I don't think that's a bad thing.
I think it's hard. Like if you like, if I'm a comic, I'm going to open mic. A, I want to work on new material. I'm gonna get to
you
it.
Got
I'm
5 minutes.
I got 5 minutes. I'm not going to sit there and try to get into a it's just like I said, there's times where I've gone to an open mic with an idea of what I want to do with a crowd work idea, but I don't just go out there and go,
yeah,
I had nothing planned. I'm just going to come out here and waste fucking 5 minutes.
To go up and say, so what do you guys want to talk about? I get that. That's annoying. But I mean, because sometimes I do want to go and work on my crowd work and just see what I can come up with, because I'm also an improviser, you know. Right. I also do improv, so right. it's like a game of how can I can combine these two things.
Right.
Yeah, I never engage it unless there's like a heckler, like you had the guy at Dada's, which he did great with that, by the way. The guy was at the bar.
Thank you.
And he just kept chiming in. She shut him down like 10 times and everyone was like, dude, you don't get it.
Yeah.
And he kept standing up like yelling and everyone was like, this guy's a douchebag. And she just like hammered him for like 3 minutes and then got into her set. But
yeah,
opened it up.
And you were like, the best thing about hecklers, you got to be funny and not mean and crude, because you want the crowd to be on your side, right? That's the key.
Right. So I wasn't mean to him, but I just kind of like broke down his entire personality.
Yeah.
he started with Cintron. He went up to Cintron and said, I want to try a wrestling move. And Mike Cintron, you know. Said,
yeah, Mike's not cool with
me.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike's not gonna be cool with that.
Then his girl started chiming in, and then she blew a kiss to Mike, and Mike said, "You just gave me air herpes." And then the guy got pissed.
That's
that was a good one, Mikey. I had a guy that started the show heckling at Tavolino's on Wednesday last week, and he was sitting there, and Ed had told me after that the guy said he gets on. He goes to shows and fucks with comics and then gets them all angry and videos it, and that's how he supposedly,
that's his shtick.
That's his thing. So he comes off and I start saying something and he says, oh, he starts talking, I say, okay, sir, you know, blah blah, the typical stuff, like be quiet, blah blah blah. And he goes, oh yeah, he goes, he's showing me his phone, and I'm like, okay, you're not gonna be quiet, are you? He's like, he's showing me, look, I'm nationally known. I go, sir. And at that point I wanted to go out to the bathroom. So hold on, since I'm cordless, Mike. Just go to the bathroom and pull the flyer from the show off the thing.
Yeah.
And go, see, there's me. There's Dougie, I'm the host, and here's DJ Dangler, who's the feature, and Chris Cope is the headliner. I don't see your fucking face on the here, dude. You know what I mean? It's like one of these things. But you know, that hosting is a great way to learn how to deal with that, because you'll
absolutely,
you know, one of the best things as a comic, and then comedy clubs will see, and they'll say they'll feel comfortable when they say yes, hire the person, is when they see you're polished. You know, like a natural comfort of, you know, not somebody who's like, you know, just looks, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah.
not. It's just calmly dealing with the situation, and nothing looks more polished than dealing with somebody who's
sure.
just being an asshole. And that comes from being an improv person, mm-hmm. right?
You
ever do improv, dude?
You know, a couple, just not like your class and stuff, just with buddies trying to film some small stuff, skits and things like that. But
so you never did like improv at like Freeze, like the game of Freeze. Like Game of Freeze, like I'll start something and then she'll come over, tap me in the back, then join whatever.
No, nah, like, I've never done any like workshops or anything like that.
Yeah, it's,
I enjoy it. I think it's cool. I think I'd be good at it, but I've never.
When I first started, I first wanted to do comedy. Somebody referred me to a guy that does improv class. I won't mention his name. It's somewhere in Florida. But I said, all right, well, you know, I don't. And then I talked to the guy. I'm like, I'm really not interested in improv because I always knew I was witty.
Sure.
That's why I wanted to get into comedy. I was quick. I was, you know,
right.
Think. I wanted to learn stand-up. I wanted to go somewhere,
yeah.
And you know, I wanted, and the person got all miffed, like, oh, well, like I was fucking talking bad about it. I'm not talking about it. I'm just telling you that, you know, it's like, you know, Muhammad Ali doesn't go have to worry about learning how to fucking jab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not his first class.
Well, I started with improv way before I did stand-up, and it's two completely different things. It's like, you know, Muhammad Ali doesn't go and learn gymnastics. It's not even,
right.
It's not even jab. It's completely different. It's
well, it's a good exercise and to deal with that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's a good exercise of thinking on your feet, but it's not related to stand up at all, because stand up is more of really a writing and then a performing. It's like public speaking, where improv is literally like you have no idea what you're going to say until you're actually saying it.
Yeah, and you are, it is performing, having that set string. By the way, RJ Jeffrey says for me to cross my legs. I didn't realize you guys are getting my, see, they're going to see my vagina now.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? All right. They get to see it.
Hey, guys, what do you think of Dougie's vagina?
And I man-groomed, by the way.
That's more than I can say.
Manscaped. Yeah,
I manscaped, you know. And now I feel like I'm eight degrees cooler without that woolly mammoth of a sweater I've been wearing. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm joined today with my co-host Nadeem Awad.
What's up, guys?
Our Palestinian representative. That's right. And straight from Israel, Noam Manor.
You got it. Noam, yes, hi, guys. Manor. Noam Manor.
Noam Manor.
Wait, what?
Who's from Israel, and nobody's beaten anybody up yet. Nobody's thrown a rock. Right? Nobody's like...
You can't see your feet, but
I don't have the leverage.
Although, you know... Noam has moved her chair over a couple
times. She has slid over.
Trying to take some of
right,
his
about time.
Which, section of the studio.
47 or 67? Which guidelines we
got? Oh, God. Those are 67. God help us. It's actually at Dada's, Mike Cintron has meshed our name together a few times.
Yeah.
I forgot how he did it.
Yeah, well.
I forgot, but it was pretty funny.
Well, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We'll be speaking of pretty funny. We'll be back with things you need to know right after this.
Hey, this is Pete Lee, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, because it's late, and I just woke up.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back. Little Tom Petty for you, Running Down a Dream. That's what comics do, running down a dream. Waiting for our HBO special. That ain't going to happen. So, tonight's, it's Monday night. And by the way, a very special comedian is going to be in Fort Lauderdale tonight, Eric Myers, very funny comic at Kava.
Yeah, the Kava.
Kava Kama in Oklahoma Oakland Park. They're over
Federal, I think.
Yeah, I think it's on the east of Federal Highway on Oakland Park.
Mm-hmm. I've never been. I'm going to check it out tonight.
Yeah, great show. Eric Myers is hilarious. He reached out to me about coming into town. And here's the funny thing about Eric. I said, yeah, I want to have a show, but I'm booked through August at Tavolino. So I said, there was actually somebody on the feature spot. So now I'm going to give him a feature spot. I'm going to pay him a little more than a feature because he's a great act. But then I feel bad about asking the headliner to have to follow him. And you'll see tonight what I mean. sometimes as a comic, that's what happens. I can tell you a lot of times I've been on the road and you're like auditioning for a club. Mm-hmm. And you get there and you're about to do a spot and they'll put, before you go up, we're going to put this person up. And it's like a 15, 20-year veteran that goes up and kills for 10 minutes. And then you're sitting there like, oh, great. You know what I mean? So you got to be ready for everything. I always tell young comics, don't show too early. Right? Our friend Fazil Malik, I always gave him advice. I said, don't worry about showing yet. You know, wait till you're, because if you don't give a great impression.
Yeah.
Comedy clubs or bookers remember only, you're only remembered one of two ways. Either you're really good or you're really bad.
Yeah.
And if they don't remember you, then guess what? It's not, you know what I mean?
Booked.
There's a good chance that, you better get a better chance of getting hired as a dishwasher. We can always use a good dishwasher. That's my Bruce Lee movie. Ever, remember that movie? Legend of Bruce Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, he's dishwasher. The lady's like, we can always use a good dishwasher. Delta. I don't know. Listen, I'm flying out tomorrow. I'm going to be on Southwest Airlines, one of the greatest airlines ever. I'm hoping to get them as a sponsor here on the show. I don't know if you ever fly Southwest, but they're one of my favorite airlines now. But Delta says, pilot who struck a passenger was trying to break up a fight. I don't know if you saw this,
but these
two women were in the gate. They had gotten off the plane, and they started fighting, And one woman was like an MMA chick, and she had, she was trying to get her in like a chokehold with her legs.
Guillotine.
Like, yeah, she had her like, you know, like a scissors or triangle choke.
Armbar.
And the, you know, and the, now here's, let me ask you that. You're a man. Yeah. So let's say you're anywhere, I don't care, at an airport or Applebee's, and you see like this one woman, you know, fighting another woman. You don't know who started it, but she's got her in a chokehold. She may, you know.
Yeah, you're like, you, she knows
gonna,
what she's doing.
Right. You're going to try to, now, A, you wouldn't punch the woman in the face, would you?
Not right away. Not right away.
Yeah.
If she tried that UFC shit, I gotta try to defend myself.
Yeah.
People are filming these days. I can't have that.
You want to be embarrassed watching your ass get beat. Now, it's funny because I've seen that happen. I've seen like a guy try to step in and like break it up, and the girl just started beating the shit out of the guy, and the guy was trying to be a gentleman. He didn't want to hurt, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he didn't want to, and then he was getting his ass whooped. Then he tried. By that time, he already took too many shots.
Yeah, he couldn't come out of it.
Yeah. You train in Krav Maga?
I don't train Krav Maga. I'm actually a kickboxer.
Okay, like Muay Thai.
No, just kick regular. So that's good old boxing.
So okay, so you train in a gym, or do you go like LA Fitness? And
no, I train. I train at a gym.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that if I would get into a fight with someone, I could definitely kick their ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Maybe him. I don't know, but not me.
Oh, well, I mean,
I'm skinny, but I could defend myself.
No,
right?
Nadeem could hold his own. I mean, I could kick his ass, but he would give me a run for my money, for sure.
I would be interested. I think that'd be a funny night. Just put you guys, like, you know,
in the ring.
Yeah, why not? Like, do you know how to fight? Are you got any training in fighting?
Just street fighting.
Yeah. Street fight. Okay.
That's it. No, like, I didn't take
just whatever classes. You know, whatever we fight after shows every time.
Because so. I can, you know, I'm a ex professional Muay Thai kickboxer.
I can see around
so
the.
I can give you like a 30-day crash course.
Yeah,
and you know,
wait,
what
so
I mean?
You want to say you'd be on his corner?
No, I would say that I would just. He's not trained. He's in a street fight. You know what I mean? He's going to come in with a Molotov cocktail and a bag of rocks,
like that shit on fire,
and a slingshot,
match
you know,
the shoe.
You know, but so all right, so. Here's what I understand. The Delta Airlines pilot, he didn't know how to do it, so he kind of punched the lady in the face.
Oh wow, that's,
you know what I mean? Like I guess he wasn't able to take her off, and he started like,
that was his first reaction, like just punch her in the face.
Yeah. Delta video apparently taken using a cell phone shows three people cursing at each other, then fighting on the jetway as as shocked passengers watched and scrambled to get out of the way. To me, when a fight breaks out, that's one of the funny things to me is watching everybody around the fight. They don't move, and then when they get hit or run over, they get mad. Like,
yeah.
You know, at one point, one of the fighters takes the other woman to the ground, then wraps her legs around her. Ooh, this is exciting. around her neck and head, and apparently a chokehold. That is when the pilot, clad in his white shirt and pilot's cap, walks over and tries to intervene. He grabs a woman's wrist and strikes her, although it's unclear whether he does with an open or closed fist.
That's the concern.
Well, I mean, if she's about to choke the hell out of that woman and kill her, I mean, if you could open hand her, that's at least you're showing some sort of restraint.
I'm really nervous about what's been going on planes lately.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm flying out tomorrow. You know, my luck, I'm going to get in an argument. And
dude, I've had no problems. I don't know. Tables have turned, finally.
Finally, the terrorists, you know, ISIS members.
I'm flying out on Thursday. Like, I don't want to be put in a chokehold or dragged off or...
Well,
what else has been happening?
Well, we don't know the settlement that Dr. Dow, whatever that guy got, but yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. I wouldn't mind getting my ass beat by a United rep. And
well, I think it'd go different if they'd be like, this guy put down six people. Let's go.
Yeah,
just give him some free flight vouchers.
Yeah,
get him
exactly.
Well,
that would always be like you know, when I was in high school, we worked at like a Bobby Rubino's, and then somebody. They tried to rob somebody, and me and another guy caught the guy and beat the shit out of him.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the newspaper and stuff, you know. And you know, but I always thought that'd be funny, like something like that happened, like on an airplane. You know, like magic. Local comedian snuffs ISIS terrorist attack on a fucking JetBlue flight. You know, he ends up choking three guys to death. Yeah. You know, hey man,
I'm working on a bit like that where it's like I'm scared to be the hero. I see some shit going down, so I take out like say there's a terrorist. He comes in, shoots up the place. I grab the guy, put him down. Someone calls cops, like, he's still fucking here. I'm like, no.
They take you away. And meanwhile, the guy on the ground gets up and blows the plane up. Yeah, that'd be great. I think that, you know, that's why sometimes people want to get involved. Like, I told the story on the show one time before at South Beach one time. One guy got into it because the guy was trying to grab the woman and put her in the car and everything outside in the club. And... The one guy went over and interfered. Next thing you know, the guy's fighting. And it was the guy's wife he was trying to take. She was fucking around with somebody. The guy, his wife was with somebody at the club, and he got there and saw her, and he tried to get her home. And this macho dude comes up and thinks this guy's an asshole, and starts. The guy's like, he's like, they get into a fight, and the guy was, you could tell he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
The guy that was intervening, and then so then me and my buddy Rick, because we had seen what happened, we run over like, dude, and we jump on that guy, and we're like, dude, mind your own fucking business, yeah, you know?
Hold on, but he was putting his hands on her, like he was dragging her out.
She was hot, like she was on. You could tell she was high as hell. But he, you know, he was like, come on, let's get home. Yeah, oh. Yeah, we got kids. You can hear. He's like, we got family. We got my kids. And when the guy punched this guy, the husband, three times, the guy's like, and the guy's like, horrible. And the guy's, you leave her alone. I'm like, dude, that was weird. Mind your own business. That's her husband. Yeah. You know, who the hell are you?
Scumbag.
Yeah, mind your own business. I don't. Sometimes if people are fighting, you know, it's hard to break. You know what? That's the thing.
You don't know. Yeah, you never know. Yeah,
someone's got a needle. Next thing you know.
Well, I'm sure that guy thought he was like defending this woman from some psycho, but. That's the only thing that you really don't know.
Hey, you like big asses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll take that as a no.
I do. Not like flat. I like
they come like athletic.
Yeah, athletic. Woman, yeah.
Now, I didn't say anything about your ass.
I didn't say anything about my ass either.
No, I'm just saying I said something about your vagina that night, but I didn't say anything about your ass. You know, Kim Kardashian's got a big ass.
Yeah, I don't really like her. She doesn't do anything.
No, for me. I don't. I hate the whole family. And as a matter of fact, I'm a little upset that I even bringing up a story on the show about it. But what I thought was she's been. You know, people ask if it's plastic surgery. That's a natural ass, and it's not. There's a rumor. One particular plastic surgeon, who's the one who supposedly gave her this ass, is now saying it's bad.
Her ass is bad.
Yeah, because you take fat from other areas and you put it there to give it that, you know, Kardashian ass look. But as time goes on, those things, it's like putting bad Bondo on a car. You know, you can see the Bondo on a car, right, on a certain light or an angle. You know, next thing you know, like you ever seen like a bad boob job?
Oh, yeah.
Where a woman, like she, this way she's fine, but if she turns around, you could tell the real boob is hanging.
Ripples.
Right, and then, or it looks like there's like a cage.
Yeah.
Like a bird cage under there. You don't have any work, right?
No, I
you wouldn't. Yeah, you wouldn't allow that.
I'm all original parts.
Right. Yeah, and you're how tall are you? You're
5'8".
Yeah, okay. So you're a little taller. You're a little shorter than me, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little shorter.
Right. When I bend at the knees.
Well, we won't make sure you. No, we're not gonna do that. My buddy's fiance. I wouldn't do that, or would I? So listen, she has a fake ass. I'm just saying. I don't know if anybody out there cares, but Kim Kardashian, it's official. It's been worked.
Oh yeah.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were dating, let's say you met a chick, you thought everything was great, and then all of a sudden you found out, you could tell there was, like, stuff done.
Like you know after what I mean? the fact?
Yeah, like, you met her and you thought she was great, and then, you know, one day you're, like, sitting there messing around, like, wow, what's this weird-looking, you know, thing on your ass? Why does it feel, you know what I mean? Oh, I had some ass implants.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd see how it'd go after the first few sessions and then figure it out. Yeah. Nah.
That's like a strange
we're already there,
thing.
You know? I already paid for dinner and whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, or then a nose job, or you know, next thing you know, because then you think you have a kid with this woman. She looks nothing like her.
Yeah.
You know, like, wasn't there a whole story about this guy who sued a woman?
Yeah,
because she had all this work done and his kids came out ugly.
Yeah, the kid's head face looked like a rudder on a boat.
Oh.
A big old nose. Like, where the hell did his nose come from?
Surprise!
I dated a girl one time, and that was a kid. Like, you know what I mean? She like older and. You know, she had to stuff this and that and like this and that. And eventually I was like, it just got to me.
Again,
this is like, you know, it's like a car with all these extra work on it. Just give me the original.
Yeah, I'm into the natural look.
Yeah.
Actually, like I'll have days where I'll be like, oh, I should get a boob job. But the truth is that I really like having really small boobs. Like it's so much more convenient as a girl. Because you never have to wear a bra. And if you really want to look like you have big boobs, there's so many things, like all these crazy water gel bras out there that you could wear. And you have like convertibles, basically.
Right. I've never been a boob guy. I've never been a big boob. I'm a legs and ass guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was a woman with posture. Like my wife has, you know, like nice shoulder. Like that was the thing that got me was her posture. You know what I mean? She didn't have big boobs or anything like that. But I was always a leg guy. Like the athletic legs on a woman, right? Not like, you know, ones where you end up with cauliflower ears.
You don't want that.
That was a joke I was wearing with Serena Williams. Yeah, you know, I did a benefit in Miami. I got to perform at J-Lo's birthday party.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she had a pinata made out like Mark Anthony. It was so skinny, nobody can hit it. And then, you know, Serena Williams was there, but, you know, somebody said she was with her boyfriend. I'm like, well, which one is her boyfriend? I'm like, oh, probably the guy with the cauliflower ears. You know, the guy who keeps saying, hey, who's her boyfriend? Guy, who? What? Who'd you say? I mean, with legs like that, you know you're going to go deaf.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
She's a strong woman.
Now, controversies hit with hackers. I don't know if you guys like hackers.
Hackers?
Yeah, like, you know.
Like computer hackers?
Like computer hackers, like people, you know.
I don't have a strong opinion on them.
Right. Well, you like Netflix?
I love Netflix.
What's your favorite show on Netflix?
Ooh, I really like, currently, Grace and Frankie. It's that show with Jane Fonda. It's funny. It's funny.
I mean, you know,
All right, I get it.
I mean, you guys are Walking Dead fans.
It's girly shit.
I love that show, man. I'm like 7-8 episodes behind of the new one. But
oh, really? So so you don't know? You didn't see the season finale?
I haven't seen it. My girlfriend watched it.
So I should tell you right now and piss you off.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because what these hackers have done, for example, one of the shows, the Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
They've gotten it, and now they were going to release it to the public before it's, and they're trying to get money out of Netflix.
Wow.
They're trying to like store, you know.
Blackmail.
Exactly.
And the thing is that every time a show like this comes out, like they're close to the release of new episodes of Orange is the New Black or any of the Netflix original shows, their subscriber number goes up like 2 million.
Right.
So this was like a huge loss for Netflix.
Yeah, wow. It could throw off their whole timing. You know what I mean? The Dark Overlord. Ooh.
Oh, that's the name of the hacker?
Yeah, as a group calls itself, provided cybersecurity blog data breaches. .net with a long list of movies and TV shows it claimed to have stolen from Larson Studios. Yeah, I mean, are we getting into an age where, now think about this, because of all, look at all the privacies we lost. Now, like, I don't know if you got, I don't care if the government's listening to me right now. I mean, I have a podcast. If I really cared about people not listening to me, I don't think I'd have a podcast. You know, like in my emails, I'm not sending stuff. I don't know
You're
about you. I mean,
anything.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm just saying, like, people, it seemed like a few years ago when they talked about the NSA and Snowden, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, everybody puts everything on Facebook anyway.
Sure.
You know, why we work? The government doesn't need NSA, just need people to watch everybody's Facebook. I'm going to get a sandwich. I'm going to go and, you know.
Nothing is private anyway. I mean, it's not. If you Google yourself, it's actually really scary. If you're registered to vote.
Right.
Your entire, like your phone number, your address, everything is on the internet.
Right. I had something, a phishing scam hit me today. They thought there was Eddie from Tavolino's, and I texted him because my Google notices it as a potential a hazardous type email. And it gave me that thing like, hey, this is suspicious. Yeah. So I text Ed and I go, he goes, I didn't send you shit. And I go, fine. Yeah. It's like a phishing scam. Like they get kind of stuff from you.
There's so much stuff out there, man. I saw a commercial for Match.com has a new thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creepy. Where you walk by like a certain person that you matched up with, and you're like, you passed Noam 15 times today in this area, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, just opening the door for these psychos.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows everything about everything now, but I don't know. It's just, who knows? I don't give a shit. Like I said, you know, people listening to my phone conversations, you know, I mean, I'd only care like if like people are watching me when I get out of the shower. You know, I don't want to be in like you know, I'm sitting there like I was man grooming.
Yeah,
like if somebody was like, you know, I was sitting there trying to reach back and get my, you know, my the back of my ass and hamstring. You know, that was interesting.
That's always a fun position to be in.
It is, and thank God my wife helped me out today.
She really loves you.
She really does. You guys hear about the Fry Festival? Did you hear about this calamity?
The Fry Festival.
It's in the Bahamas on the beach. It was supposed to be a big musical thing and like Coachella or something like that. People spent $1,500 to go there, and they're going to get glamorous like places to stay and food and everything. Turns out they had tents. They had like the Haitian survival tent.
Oh my god!
You know, as the place to stay, and they had cheese and bread. They bailed. People screwed up.
So did they just like swindle people? Like did they just lie to everyone, or something went wrong?
Over $100 million class action suit going on now. I guess Jarul was one of the guys that was running it, and a group of people.
Oh yeah, he's been in financial stress for a while.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pay $15 to go see that.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and so all these people, there's a bunch of people that got stuck there, and I mean, that's why, you know, we're talking about, there's a booker that's putting on comedy, a charity comedy shows that has a big, real bad reputation on the West Coast. Now he's here on the East Coast. And this is a guy that reached out to me on that night at your show and asked me to do a show. I'm like, nah, you know, almost got into a big fight with Perry Sack because Perry basically told him, look, I don't want to do any shows with you because you got a bad rep. And he tried to defend himself by being an asshole. Yeah. Which I was interested in. Somebody says, hey, somebody, you're an asshole. I'm not a fucking asshole. I think you're an asshole. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm a fiduciary. I'm a money manager for 28 years. So yeah. I can't get involved in a charity. You know, all of a sudden somebody finds out I'm a financial, you know, there's shifty stuff going on. I don't need that nonsense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just got to be careful. Just saying.
Well, I committed to the show. I did it and it's done. But you used a lot of names of comedians that I respect, two particular. And that's why I committed to the show in the beginning.
Right.
And then I asked after the fact who this guy was. And a bunch of people were like,
You know, you never want to get in the way of somebody making a dollar. But there's something about, you know, tarnishing the comedy scene.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. You know, you never want to tell somebody what to do or not to do, but damn. You know, just saying. You know, it's just one of these things. All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show because it's that time. And we come back, we got a segment called Straight from the Headlines. This is where we talk about stories that are funny. We're not going to talk about death. You know, and like, you know, the Palestinian-Israeli issue.
Why not? That's funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
We'll bring it back up. We're supposed to fight after this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 30 days, a little crash course. I'll tell you the low
kicks.
No
crash course. We're doing this now, right now.
Sweep the legs. Sweep the legs.
start collecting bets.
That's right. If you're out there on Facebook Live, who do you think would win? Let's just say a two-round fight, 2 minutes.
Don't pull my hair in.
Right, we're gonna go with Thai boxing rules. You could punch like you're boxing. You can kick to the legs, the knees, the head, anywhere. You just can't kick to the groin.
Let's do Fight Club rules.
Right.
Nobody.
Oh, you want to like get on the ground and choke? I if you guys fought like kickboxing rules, I would, you know, you trained and you're not. I would say I would worry about you.
No, I would. I would never fight Nadim. He's a sweet angel.
Oh, yeah. That's sweet.
I'm bow-legged. I don't know if I can take a kick to the legs. Yeah, I can't risk that.
He's going to fall over anyway.
I just don't want to be sued. I know his family is in deep with the mafia.
Oh, there you go. There we go. Now the dirt's coming out. We'll be back with Straight from the Headlines right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th to the 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. On May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st to the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
Hey, this is Steve Marshall, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And if there's anybody who likes to wake up late, it's me. Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Unfortunately, most of it happens in Florida, because that's our state.
That's how we live.
Although the first one isn't. A guy in gorilla costume finishes the London Marathon in just 6 days.
six days.
It's all about finishing.
I just have so many questions about this. Yeah. I mean, this guy lives his life, and he just decides that he's going to do this marathon in a gorilla suit?
Yeah, and not only, like, when I first saw the story, I thought it was like, okay, here's a guy in a gorilla suit, but he's running it in the gorilla. But no, he's acting like a gorilla. That's why he took him 6 days.
Oh, really? What an idiot. And you know he pissed himself and shit his suit, you know?
Yeah.
whatever he called.
Well, you got diapers. In London, an English policeman wearing a gorilla costume while crawling the London Marathon has finally finished the race almost a week after starting. Metropolitan Police Officer Tom Harrison, who goes by the name Mr. Gorilla, raised a reported £26,000, that's about $33,650, for the Gorilla Organization, which is dedicated to conserving gorillas in the countries including Rwanda and Uganda. It's nice, fella. The 41-year-old Londoner started the 26.2-mile route last Sunday and crossed the line on Saturday. Harrison slept at friends' houses in the evenings after completing around 10 to 12 hours and 4.5 miles per day. He swapped between crawling on his hands and knees and up on his hands and feet to save his blistered knees. Yeah, we're going 26 what miles on your knees.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Couldn't he just go to the bank and get a loan?
Yeah, he's going to have to take 3 weeks off of work.
That guy's an asshole because, you know what? There's people volunteering to work this marathon that had to stay so much longer for him.
I know this
poor
people.
To do his little gig.
Those poor people with the water. Like, yeah. When's this fucking guy going to make it? I'm holding this water, right? I don't know. I mean, listen, congratulations. Somebody posted up on Facebook, these kids took a dog and put glue all over the dog and threw it in mud, and they found the dog and saved it, so they took all his, and they shot him. Like, you know, it just makes, I get sick when people put these animal abuse things on.
Yeah,
you know.
I can't see that.
It's just, and then you smile because, the dog's great now. He's got a new life. I'm like, well, now I got to see this stumbling dog with glue all over it. And I got to think about these schmuck kids who need an ass whooping. I bet you those kids' parents didn't beat them. Flower shop owner accused of stealing plants from a cemetery. We got low overhead. How can you afford these flowers so cheap? In Pequannock Township in New Jersey, police say a flower shop owner stole plants and other items from graves at a New Jersey cemetery for months. Captain Christopher DePuit says police installed surveillance cameras at the first removed church cemetery in Pequannock Township after two plants disappeared from the mausoleum and replacement plants were stolen 2 days later.
Oh, wow.
Going back to the scene of the crime.
He's selling them twice.
Yeah. Although there was somebody got suspicious because when they got, you know, some lady got some flowers for a prom, they said, you know, get well soon or our deepest sympathies. The cameras caught a woman in a minivan taking the plants, and Riverdale officers recognized her as a former police dispatcher.
Oh, wow. I think they didn't understand she was just renting the flowers out.
Yeah.
She wanted them back afterwards. Yes. They're by the hour.
Authorities charged 59-year-old Linda Wingate of Riverdale with disorderly persons offense of theft of movable property. Well, that's explain that when you're in jail. claims she said that she was cleaning up old flowers from graves of people she knew. But she says that, you're stealing shit.
Yeah.
You know, what would be like an equivalent of that? Like, I guess if you're like a lumber yard, like a warehouse, you know, like a Home Depot, but you go to Ace Hardware and steal all their shit. Yeah, there's a case of somebody, like, I used to work in Publix when I was in high school. I was like the highest paid bag boy in public history because my high school soccer coach was the manager. He just retired, but he ended up being like the head of Publix all through Florida and Vero. But fucking getting paid big money to bag groceries.
Sweet.
You know what I mean?
Nice gig.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, and then you get a little tired. You go down the dessert aisle, grab some Little Debbie cakes, head to the bathroom in the back. Every once in a while you hear, Doug to the front, Doug, Doug, we need baggage help in the front, Doug.
I was just testing the merchandise, guys.
But there was a kid who you know, was taken care of by the, and he had a restaurant, but he was stealing wine and beer from, because he worked there. And he was stealing and having specials on his wine. Like, you know, listen, if you're going to, whenever you steal, like, it's one thing if you steal, like, the only way you're ever going to get away from stuff, you steal from somewhere once and that's it. You might get away with it. But if you keep stealing, especially from the same people,
they're going to catch on.
Somebody's going to get a little miffed.
I used to work for a company that did like electrical and construction and stuff like that. And we had an electrician that we would buy these big, like parking lot lights, the 60 volt ones, I think. And he would be like, oh, a bunch of them were bad. I threw them away. In reality, he was just selling them.
Yeah.
So he was just selling a bunch of merchandise. But it's like, that's really only something you can do like once or twice.
Right.
I'm not going to believe you that 10 of the lights I just bought are bad.
Yeah, constantly. People, that's the thing. Like, anything. I always told my stepdaughter when she started dating, I used to say, listen, if you want to find somebody, you want to know the difference between good people of character and people without, there's going to be a lot of contradictions. You got to look for contradictions in people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people say, oh, I love the environment, this and that. They need a hot dog, and they throw paper on the floor. You know, but there's a lot of that.
I'm creating jobs.
Yeah. It's like the scene in The Fifth Element. I like chaos. Break the glass. Look at everything working. Waynesboro, Virginia. Mystery in Virginia. Someone is shaving other people's cats. I guess somebody in Virginia likes bald pussy. Why would someone go around shaving other people's cats? The mystery has the attention of the police in Waynesboro, a small city in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley, where someone has been taking cats and precisely shaving their underbellies or legs. It happens to 7 cats since December.
That's fucking weird. That's a weird fetish,
man. Right? Somebody's got a little too much time. Like, you know, I mean, it'd be funny if they shaved all the cats' body and left hair on their legs. You know, like, you know.
I just, usually when I hear of a crime, like, I at least understand the motive, but here I'm kind of left wondering.
Yeah. Somebody's got a new, like, body trimmer.
And they're just...
and they're bored.
They're testing it out.
Yeah, they're like, you know, I mean, it's like when you get a new marker, you start writing shit. Can't help it. I'm going to write my name on a piece of paper. Ooh. Yeah. Again, it's just a guy who likes shaved pussy. You like shaved pussy, right?
Yeah, like a little bit something there.
Well, you're
you
from
know?
Middle not, East. You don't probably care. Totally it could look like a fucking burning bush, I bet.
Nah, I'm not into that.
No?
I'm not into that shit, no.
Well, I don't want to get into it.
I don't want anything burning.
No, we're not going there.
No,
there.
But she's, you know.
Yeah, skip over me for
but
that.
I would imagine women like from Israel don't care. They like let everything, like armpit hair and everything. No?
What?
I'm just, you know. Like women from, I remember when I was a kid, like our family's from like Gibraltar. My family's from the Rock of Gibraltar in Spain. And a lot of families go to London. Like a lot of the kids grow up and they go to London or live in England. So one time one of my cousins came down with this girl, Zed. I still remember her name. Tall woman, big boobs. I remember as a kid because one of her boobs flopped out in the pool one day and I was just so excited. But she had like a bikini on, but she was like an English girl, so the hair was coming out everywhere.
Oh man, that's
you know
rough.
What I mean? And it was like I could still remember like the awkward feeling my father would like yeah, I remember being outside in the pool, everybody's out and hanging out, we're making and everybody's swimming, and all of a sudden she comes out with that. You know what I mean? And I'm looking, I'm like 9, 10 years old, like looking at it like, wow, you know.
What the hell is that?
I'm like, I loved that visit. I was so happy.
No, we're hairy, but we're well groomed.
By the way, Tracy Young comments on Facebook, the NAACP would like to know how many black comedians have performed at Yo Club this year. Well, I would say there have been plenty. There's been plenty. All right. I saw this on TV last night, and I thought this is like the fall of society. I think this was in, I got to check it. But a woman in Cleveland, her son was taken, she wasn't happy with the amount of time it was taking to get her son's haircut, that she pulled out a gun.
Oh, man.
On the barber.
She should have found that cat guy to do it instead.
Yeah. Well, that's maybe now we know where the cats are getting. Maybe this guy, you know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Police in Cleveland are trying to identify a woman they say pulled a gun on a barber because he was taking too long to cut her 7-year-old son's hair. You need to cut my boy's hair. He's a good boy. He got to get to school tomorrow. Now, don't make me shoot your ass. She was black, by the way. I'm just not being racist. I'm just depicting the scene. You guys are looking at me like, how do you know she was black? Well, I saw the video. Cleveland says police support on April 14th. Police say the woman complained several times before pulling a handgun from her purse and pointing it at the barber, telling him, I got 2 clips. I'll pop you.
Oh, wow.
The police say the woman put the gun back after another employee came over to calm her down.
Cleveland.
The barber was able to finish the haircut.
That shit's normal.
To be fair, I have gone impatient to the point of wanting to be violent before.
Really? On a haircut?
Not on a haircut. But today in 7-Eleven, I was just trying to get a Red Bull, and it took 20 minutes.
Right.
And if I was a gun owner, this is why I'm not a gun owner.
You would have brand owner. You would have been brandishing your weapon.
No, I wouldn't have. But I would think about it.
I had a moment like that. Like, we were in Tennessee. Chattanooga was a week before last. Brought the wife. We had a nail in our tire when we drove from Helen back to we went to my buddies are. But anyway, long story short, we're in the nail. So the next morning, slow leak. I'm contemplating, okay, do I just drive with the nail in there and hopefully, and then, you know, stop at a Costco to get a new tire?
Because
it couldn't get patched because there was too much to the side. So I go to this auto mechanic place right there where I was staying, and I go and I meet the guy, and he's like, okay. So I'm sitting out there, and I'm waiting for him to get the tool to get the plug, like, you know, yeah, to put a thing in. And it's like 30 minutes, I don't see this guy. Now, I'm at that stage, like, my wife's like, what the, you know, she's like, what the hell going on? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but what are we going to do? We've been out here for 25 minutes waiting now. I'm going to leave. He's going to probably come. And I'm waiting, and then I'm waiting. And now I'm walking around the outside of the thing, like, you know, like, what the hell, you know? And I, same thing. I was like, I'm going to leave. And the guy came out, just complete idiot.
It's just like, I need to go. Like, I need to live life.
Yeah, he was in the back playing cards, eating boiled peanuts, man.
I didn't know if the guy went in the back room and sat there. I'm going to wait for that stupid fat bastard to wait for me. He thinks I'm going to plug his tire. And I plugged the tire, you know, got plugged, and we ended up having to stop in Atlanta for another $200-something for a new tire for a plug.
That's
the worst when you're on the road, by the way. Whenever I'm on the road going somewhere, especially driving like 10 hours or something, that's always my biggest fear that I'm going to get that light in my car, that air pressure light.
And
when I'm on a way to a show, I don't want to get out in 100-degree temperature and sweat my balls off.
Change a tire.
You know, to change a tire. Can you change a tire?
I can, actually. Yeah? Yes. Yeah?
You can change a tire.
Oh, yeah, man.
You got it. You that quick. Like, let's say that'll be a contest. Who could change a tire quicker?
Oh, you could do it quicker, but I could still do it.
All right.
NASCAR, eventually.
Here's a guy that's not too bright. Makes a 911 call. Man wants police dog to search for the stolen heroin.
Wow. That's a good one.
Calls the cops, needs help. Hey, I need one of your drug sniffing dogs because somebody stole some of my heroin.
Thanks for the assist. We'll be right there.
Yeah, Akron, Ohio. Say again, Ohio is like Florida. A lot of people, you know, that's where that guy Castro had the people locked up in the house.
Oh yeah, in Akron.
Yeah,
it's where LeBron James is from.
Right. Yeah. There was a couple people in Ohio that did the same thing. It was like a growing trend of people just locking up people in the house. Akron, Ohio police say an Ohio man called 911 to request a police dog to help track down heroin allegedly stolen from him. The news reports a 20-year-old man in Bath Township near Akron made the call in January. When the call operator asked the caller needs a police dog, he replies that a female stole heroin from him. Bath Police Chief Mike McNeely laughed his ass off, fell out of his chair, and then said, it's among the most bizarre things he's heard in the four decades of policing.
You know
you've done too much heroin when you call the cops to help you find your heroin.
Did they find it is my next question.
Oddly enough, the cops found it and got high for the weekend.
I actually heard a police phone call once from a guy that broke into a house, and he heard the people coming in, and he panicked, so he called the cops.
Yeah.
And said, I'm trapped in someone's bathroom, and I'm afraid to come out.
Because he was robbing the house.
Because he was robbing the house.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a situation where I was almost charged with kidnapping. Wrongful imprisoning.
Oh, man.
Well, there's a guy who was with my oldest brother, and they got fucked up, and they stole a bunch of my mom's jewelry, and they went and sold it to get crack or whatever the fuck they were doing at the time.
Jesus.
And the guy was in the house when I got there, and I'm like, where is it? You know, what's going to go? Like, oh. So he tried to leave, and I grabbed him in a headlock and threw him in the crowd, started beating the shit out of him. And then the cops came there and said, well, you know, he could charge you for, like, wrongful imprisonment, like
this,
you know,
is a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what I said. I'm like a cop. Yeah, you gotta, you know, you never know what's going on. All right, we only got a little time here on the show, so we got a couple stories. I like this story. All right, these are the two stories we're gonna go with. Okay. Cops say 22-year-old hooker wanted chicken McNuggets in return for a sex act. Must not have been a good sex act.
No, not at all.
Right? I mean, McNuggets. Yeah, I don't eat chicken McNuggets.
A 20-piece.
Well, was it a pre-agreed upon, like, deal?
Now, if it was Chick-fil-A nuggets.
That's, now we're talking.
I might go down on somebody for fucking some chick. Yeah, well, this chick's nasty. A Florida woman arrested last night in a prostitution sting told an undercover cop that her price for oral sex was $25 and a serving of chicken McNuggets.
So, you know, that was her price, like on her catalog.
That's right. Like sometimes you reach those back pages, they say 150 roses. They tell you things like that, like, exotic massage for 150 roses.
Private modeling.
Yeah, the first time I did it, I showed up with 150 roses. I didn't know this was like code. Cops allege that Alex DiReno, 22, got into the auto of an undercover detective who had parked outside a Bradenton gas station around 10 p.m. After some chit-chat, the cop told DiReno that he wanted to get... the cop told DiReno that he wanted to get his dick sucked. Like, who wouldn't? To which DiReno reporter replied, okay. After a few seconds of bargaining, the undercover cop reported, the duo agreed that he would pay $25 and to get the female chicken McNuggets for the oral sex.
That was one of my three guesses. Bradenton was right there.
Bradenton, yeah.
Ocala and
Titusville. That's where that kind of thing's. So listen, guys, if you're ever traveling through Bradenton, bring your own chicken McNuggets. however, just blocks away, McDonald's detective stopped the vehicle to take down the location. You know, here's the thing. Like, I have a friend that's with the BSO, and he actually was part of one of these things with these Asian massage parlors. And, you know, they actually get to go through with it. They, you know what I mean? So I can imagine like being like when you're this duty sergeant sitting there, okay, we need a volunteer for the all the married guys, put your hand down. No, really, I can do it, man. I'm good at this shit. You know. But they actually, that's what they do.
I was just doing my job, honey.
Yeah, they used to say it's before exchange, but for the Asian, they actually have to perform the act.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, God, I mean, at least now there's some benefits of being a police officer.
Yeah.
You know, you can get killed, but you can also, you know, you can be part of the detail of an Asian massage parlor.
Yeah, that beats the 50% off of Burger King or whatever else they offer out there.
Yeah, right. Or there was a story the other day of a place in Raleigh where the staff were singing a song, a rap song about killing the, you know, fuck the police, fuck the police.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... yeah, and the cops, the sergeant was pissed, and the owner, like, I had no idea, but the whole staff was singing it to the cops.
Whoops.
Yeah. You guys Star Wars fans?
I'm not.
You are?
I'm not.
Yeah.
You're not?
No.
What are you, any comic book stuff, anything?
Yeah, Marvel. Marvel comics.
Not
Star Wars or Star Trek. None of that shit. Space can stay out there, I don't...
Tokyo Jeweler.
You're going down.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. By the way, before we forget, but these guys are going to have a show, so don't let me forget before. But here's our last story. That Tokyo Jeweler offers gold Darth Vader mask. You got to see this thing. Pure gold. $1.4 million.
Wow. Look at this.
Talk about being the life of the party.
There we go.
I don't even need this in there at this point. See the Darth Vader mask?
It's unbelievable.
Look at that. Boy, leave it to the Japanese. Tokyo, Star Wars fans with deep pockets might consider it a golden opportunity. A Tokyo jeweler store is offering a life-size Darth Vader mask made of 24-karat gold at a hefty price of 154 million yen, which is only 1.4 million, to mark the 40th anniversary of the release of the first Star Wars movie.
That's a bit excessive.
It it's 26 and a half centimeters. You guys know how big that is? You know how to convert centimeters? You do?
Well, I know how big.
Well, you guys
it is,
should, because you're not from here. Which is about 10 and a half inches wide and 30 centimeters, 11.8 inches high. Much like my penis. The Ginza Tanaka store says the masks are not designed for wearing. Well, what's the fun in that? At about 15 kilograms, 33 pounds.
Yeah, it would crush your neck.
Luke, I am your... I'm going to the ground, Luke. I'm going into the dirt. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to buy it, but it's lovely.
Somebody will buy it, some asshole.
No, yeah, somebody's going to buy it and Luke, add it to their shrine of already existing Star Wars stuff.
Look what I bought, just in case of the apocalypse. I've got Darth Vader's head, 145 million.
Some unmarried man out there is going to buy it.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank my co-host today, Nadim Awad.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
And Noam Manor.
Thank you for having
too
me.
Much.
Plug the show for...
Yes. Let's hear about it. You guys are going to have a show you're putting together.
Yes.
We haven't picked the charity yet, but it's for a peaceful organization between between the Jews and the Palestinians, mm-hmm. or something towards peace.
It's something
you don't seem to be on board. You're saying something about peace.
Yeah, you know, something. Yeah. Well, we're fight going in the parking lot after. It's, you know,
we're going for a non-political organization that takes care of children or anything. You know, for basically the people who suffer for it, and they really don't deserve to.
Right.
For both on both ends, something that promotes peace, promotes coexistence.
Every once in a while, you see the Palestinians and the Jews getting together like a dance. Like a barbecue, they try to put the people together, the young people together out there.
Somebody it breaks. Happens. There's a lot of organizations out there.
Yeah, they do. Like there's like dance schools and stuff that they have Palestinians that come to the school and mm-hmm. thing. They try to. You know.
When I was in school, they did that. They brought Palestinian kids over and we had like a fun day with them of communication and stuff.
Really?
It's so
like to try
it
to break
stuck
down
with
that,
me.
That.
You guys
that.
Were like, dance, motherfuckers. Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time
I was
to
like,
dance.
Hey, make my hummus.
No Gatorade. Until 3 hours into it.
Well, I'm glad you guys didn't kill each other on the show here today, which only proves that peace can work. And it worked here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We had Arabs and Jew and Palestinian. Israeli and a Palestinian getting together, and they get together to make you folks laugh. By the way, it is this week is interesting. You got the Grand Tavern tomorrow night.
Grand Tavern tomorrow night at 8:30.
In Del Rey, go and sign up comics. Wednesday is Wise Guys Comedy Show. I won't be in town, but Dan Long is your host, along with co-features Talia Brahms and Chris Z, and our headliner is Daryl Rhodes, very funny touring comic. Has been around forever. And of course, this Wednesday through Saturday, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's my Tornado Comedy Tour. The week after, I'm going to be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. So go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. You can follow us on here on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Instagram and at Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And join our fan page on Facebook as well. How can they follow you?
Don't. Please don't follow me. There's enough people follow me.
Yeah, he's got the FBI,
Facebook,
FBI guys.
Facebook. Nadeem Awad. That's all I got for social media.
There you go.
And you can follow me at Noam Alaska. That's Noam Alaska, like the state, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And also Sundays, every Sunday at 7 and 10th Level Tavern, I have an open mic. This Sunday, Nancy Kim and Leah J are guest hosting because I'll be out of town. And that's all I got.
There you go. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And Peter Leonard will be with me tomorrow in the studio. Facebook Live, we'll probably be doing it at 12 o'clock since I got to be on a 4 o'clock fight to Little Rock. Thanks to Southwest. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes.